now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. But what about God's predestination? The Bible reveals so much about our living God that is so marvelous, we just cannot comprehend it. But why should we think that the eternal God who made the universe could be crammed within our little skull? Such ideas would be more ridiculous than for one to try and house the sun, moon, stars, and all the great heavenly planets within the bosom of our little earth. Neighbor, has your head gotten so conceited and big that you think you can comprehend and understand the eternal God? Our God and his ways are past finding out, as the Bible says, and the reasonings and arguments of mortal men but show what fools they are. So, resigning all such motives, let us listen as God in his word gives us a little peep into some of his great mysteries, and one of them is his predestination, his electing grace. Our Bible speaks of those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But does that surprise us, that God planned for our salvation before there even was an Adam or a Garden of Eden? And he marked out those who would be blessed by that salvation, even those who would repent of their sins and receive his Son as their Lord and Savior. The Bible speaks of God's elect, but who are they? How can we know them? What marks them out? Paul went to a city and preached Christ to all, but only some responded to that message, and as Paul saw this one and that one turn to the Lord Jesus, he knew they were God's elect, as we read, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with joy of the Holy Spirit." Peter wrote to Christians saying, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." And Paul wrote saying, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." God's predestination is always connected with his foreknowledge. I repeat that. God's predestination is always connected with his foreknowledge. Because we do not even know what tomorrow holds for us, let us not belittle the eternal God to our limitations. Our God knows the end from the beginning, and before a person even was born, God foreknew his life and every decision that person would make and every path he would tread. Some will turn away from God and despise his grace and salvation, while others will repent of their sins and cling in faith to God's Son, Jesus Christ, as their own Lord and Savior. This God foreknew, and according to that foreknowledge, he appointed some to damnation and others to salvation. God foresaw every person and every life before there was an Adam, but we can only consider each person after they've lived and died. But that liar and deceiver of precious souls, the devil, takes these great Bible truths and confuses anxious souls with them. To some he says, "You can't be saved if you're not elected by God to be saved, and there's no way to tell whether you are or not, so just wait and see what your fate may be." To others he says, "Jesus said no man can come to me except the Father draw him, so just wait for that drawing and see if you ever get in on this." What is this drawing? You have been troubled about your soul. You once sought the world and sin, the only things worth living for, but now you long to have one person, Jesus, and you know that your need will all be met in him. What is this but the drawing of the Father? He is drawing you to Christ, but the question is, will you come to him? And whom is he drawing to Christ? Just a few? No. He's drawing the world that he loved. And as certainly as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to reconcile that world unto himself, just so truly is he seeking to draw everyone in that world to his Son for salvation. It is likewise true that no one can come to Christ unless the Spirit first convicts him of sin. But he is convicting the world of sin, as the Bible says. Sinner, you can't shift the responsibility upon God. You are a responsible being to choose your own destiny. But others are confused by the Bible statement, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And that statement God made before those boys were even born. Yes, that is true. But we must again remember God's perfect foreknowledge, and before their birth, God saw them in the light of the history he foreknew each would make. What history? Esau would be a profane man, despising God and his blessing. Our world is full of modern Esaus. They have no fear or reverence for God. They scoff at prayer, laugh at the Bible, and take God's holy name in vain. Esau would be a fornicator, lusting after immoral, idol-worshipping women. God appointed honorable marriage, but he hates those who corrupt and pollute it. Neighbor, let this man of God again warn you. Don't trifle with that sin. Steer your ship clear of that hidden rock, for it brings a certain vengeance of God Almighty. Esau was so big in his own eyes, he didn't need God. In his self-sufficiency, he prided himself on being such a skilled hunter. And as a captain, 400 men had rallied after him. He really had it in his own eyes, but in God's eyes, Esau was hated. But Jacob was loved. For in all his schemes and troubles, he always patterned his life by this conviction, if God is for me, who can be against me? And lest any should think that God had slighted Esau and didn't give him a chance, God ordered that Esau was born first of Rebekah's twin boys. So Esau by birth inherited the firstborn's blessing of God. But Esau so despised God and his blessing, he counted a morsel of meat worth more than God's blessing. The Bible does insist upon its revelation of God's election and predestination, but it does not teach fatalism. Fatalism is the devil's lie, as it teaches if you are to be saved, you will be saved regardless, and if you are born to be damned, it's just too bad, you are doomed. And if that does not deceive the soul, then the deceiver comes around with this. You can't believe and be saved until you're first born again, an act of God. So just wait and see if this ever happens to you. But what saith the Scriptures? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You do not get the new life so you can believe, but you believe first, and then God gives you that new life. The devil's fatalism makes a man a block of wood with no will and no choice. Fatalism is the devil's tool to knock out the troubled and convicted soul into an unconscious state while his day of salvation slips away forever. On with fatalism. The devil runs his operating room on a 24-hour schedule. Neighbor, you must choose God's predestination or the devil's fatalism. Choose wisely, for your precious eternal soul is at stake. Again we consider, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Neighbor, where do you fit into this picture? Had God loved you? Has he? He loved you so truly he did not spare his own beloved son, but delivered him over to Calvary's cross of suffering, so as to make a way of salvation possible to you. You are the object of God's love and grace. But I must warn you, you may die like an Esau and be the object of God's eternal wrath and judgment. The same Bible, in the very same chapter of the Bible, that tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, declares of some of those very people that God so loved, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How solemn to die in hopelessness under the eternal wrath of Almighty God. How hopeless! Esau, when he faced the bitter harvest of his choice, wept in bitterness and sought some way to avoid the awful consequences, but he found none, as the Bible tells us. And if you turn down the Lord Jesus, your Savior and only hope, you thereby seal your doom forever. And if you vainly think that as you're about to breathe your last, you will repent, you'll find it is too late. Your space to repent is gone forever. God has given you up. And in the hopeless fog of your predicament, you shall pass into the dark caverns of death to die in your sins without Christ and without God and having no hope forever, as the Bible says. The Bible is full of profound statements concerning God's election, his predestination, his foreknowledge, and his sovereignty. But after all this revelation, the Bible ends with Revelation 22:17 as God's last message to the sinner. Listen to it. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the last word on this matter, and is so pleased to convince you that the matters of God's sovereignty do not hinder your salvation. With these words, God will sweep away every obstacle, saying to all, whosoever will, let him take. Nothing but your own will, which you control, will now keep you from God's salvation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if ye be willing. Our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, being God, very God, knew all those unsearchable depths of God's predestination, and he declares, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Will you not take his offer to be genuine? Will you not leave the matters of election with him who knows all about them? Lost one, ponder his words, and no longer delay, but come to Christ right now, for he said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God is willing to save you. You may come. Christ is ready to receive you. You can come, but the question is, will you come? 66 years ago, as a lost sinner, I took the Lord Jesus at his word, and I came to him to be my Lord and Savior. I came on my own will and choice, and he received me and saved me, and we are one forever. I have neither doubts nor fears, for he promised me, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And now he's waiting for you to come to him and be saved by him. You do the coming, and he will do the saving. You confess him as your Lord and King, and he will put you into his everlasting kingdom. Here I must stop. As armed by the Holy Spirit with God's word, I have removed all the obstacles. The road is clear before you. Your destiny is your decision. I cannot decide for you. It is your own will and your move to make. I leave you with my verse, John 6:37. Read it and act on it now. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.